Psalm 67, and we're in the Psalms, I think, for the last summer, are we, today? Last day of summer, right. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine on us, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. And in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. The Lord answered, "Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, 'My master's taking a long time in coming,' and he then begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour when he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. The servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked."
Well, we've been looking at the Psalms throughout the summer, and each of the Psalms we've identified an emotion or an aspect of the psalm that differs from the others. And so we've looked, like last week, as Marina preached, a psalm of repentance, of contrition, of knowing that we've done wrong, as David did. In other psalms, we've looked at other aspects of forgiveness or grace. Today, we want to look at this Psalm 67, which is a psalm of responsibility. It's interesting when you think about prayer, that in every land and in every culture and every religion, from the beginning of time, the most common prayer offered to God or to the gods is what? "Please bless me." Isn't that what we want? Isn't that why we turn to God? We turn to God for blessing. We ask God to bless our families. We ask God to bless our crops if we're a farmer, or to bless our work if we are workers, to bless our home, to bless our bodies with the food we eat. We ask God to bless our travels. I saw off my sister this morning at 7:45 asking God to bless them as they travel back to the U.S. And so when things go well, we attribute our improved situation or our good situation to God's blessing. You may have noticed how the hashtag blessed on Facebook or Twitter has become quite fashionable. I don't know if you've used it. In a situation such as this, "My daughter got a university scholarship. Hashtag blessed. My wife got an unexpected pay rise. Hashtag blessed. My children have turned out so incredibly well. One of them is getting married in October. Hashtag blessed." When we think of life generally, we like to be blessed. In fact, using the hashtag blessed is some backhanded way of boasting while sounding so incredibly humble. "I just got a new car. Hashtag blessed." What does it mean to be blessed? How should we understand the blessings of God? This is what Psalm 67 is all about. So let's pray. Father, teach us from your word what your blessing is really all about. Is it something that we boast in? Is it something that we hold to ourselves? What do you have in mind for us? In Jesus' name, amen. In Psalm 67, it's very interesting. The psalmist begins by praying a very typical, universal prayer, one that anyone on earth could pray at any time. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us. Lovely, isn't it? It's a prayer asking for God's blessing. And ever since the world has begun, human beings have been praying this sort of prayer. But I want you to notice how this psalm continues, how the prayer changes course. You see, the psalmist goes on to include these following words, so that. In other words, blessings have a purpose. So that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Now, these are the words that make all the difference to that ordinary common prayer, Lord, bless me. Here, there's a purpose behind the blessing. Asking God for blessing is one thing, but being able to see that the blessings of God are only valid when used in line with God's purposes in the world is another thing. I mean, have you ever wondered, have you ever stopped to really consider why God has given you so many blessings? Have you, as the song says, counted your many blessings? Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. Have you done that? Have you reflected on how much you and I have? Because according to this psalm, God blesses us for a purpose. And that purpose is clearly not to keep the blessings to ourselves. You've been blessed, I've been blessed, that we might share these blessings with others, to spread his salvation to the earth. There's a purpose behind God's blessings. We were at a party the other night, a lovely dinner party, and one of the guests around the table said, "Aren't we so blessed to live in this country called Australia? We have so much to be thankful for. There's so little poverty. There's so little conflict. Look at us living in the lap of luxury. The blessings are so abundant." Now, my wife has a very lovely way of inserting things. And she said, as that statement was wafting in the air, just hanging there, and everybody's saying, "Oh, yes, it's so lovely." It was around Australia Day, of course. "Oh, it's so lovely being Australian." Kim chimes in, says, "Yep, we are blessed. And that's why we need to give more of our blessings to others." And that reflects Psalm 67. You see, Superman, Spider-Man. Spider-Man once said, and I quote, "With great power comes great responsibility." The Christian says, "With great blessing comes great responsibility." Do you want to be blessed? Are you ready to count the cost, to carry the load, to take your responsibility with seriousness? I want you to listen to the rest of Psalm 67. You see, the fact is that too many Christians, as I understand it, have a wrong understanding of God's blessing. They think that God has favor on them, and rightly so, but they look to the rest of the world for their understanding of God's blessing. They see God's blessing as simply the fuel for living a happy and successful life. God has blessed me in my marriage. Aren't I a lucky guy? God has blessed me with well-educated children. Aren't I a lucky guy? I have a healthy body. Aren't I a lucky guy? A successful career, trusted friendships, financial abundance. We hold it to ourselves and say, "What a good boy am I?" And I'm so wrong to say that. Because in actual fact, Psalm 67 makes it so clear that the blessings of life are not for me. Indeed, the basis of the blessed life comes from using God's blessings for others. And that twists everything around in a different direction. Listen to the key words here, and I've highlighted them in yellow. Notice, the focus is not on ourselves. The focus is on the nations, the peoples of the world who don't yet know God. And that's why the psalmist goes on to say, may the peoples of the world praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing with joy. Why would the nations be glad and sing for joy? Because the Jewish people, blessed by God, are allowing those blessings to flow outward to the rest of the world. For you rule the peoples with equity. By ruling Israel and allowing the blessings of God to flow out and be shared with the world, God's rule is extended to peoples who do not even know Him. That's the beauty of the blessings of God. Verse 5, may the peoples of the world praise you, God. May all those people out there praise you because of the blessings that we have shared with them. If you still don't believe me that that's how we read this psalm, look at the conclusion, the last two verses. The psalmist turns to the abundant harvest surrounding him as he looks out on the plains, as he looks out on the wheat, as the corn is ripening, as the grain is abundant in its silos. The psalmist says, the land yields its harvest. And we're going to keep it to ourselves. No. God, our God, blesses us. And may God bless us still, verse 7. Notice he comes back to the so that clause. The same clause we found in the opening verses, he repeats here in the last verse. So that. God's blessing has a purpose on us. So that all the ends of the earth will know Him, fear Him, trust Him, look to Him, respect Him, glorify Him. Because the Jewish nation was generous. The blessings of God flowed out. And the nations came, and they came, and they came, and they said, where is your God? Because we see Him in you. Active, because you're so generous. You give what He has given to you. The idea is so clear. The nations of the world would come to Israel because they saw the way that God's people dedicated their blessings to be shared. Their God-given resources, their God-given talents and abilities as well, to be shared in God's service for the world. That idea does not end with the Old Testament. In fact, it's a very clear part of Jesus' ministry to bring forth this idea of sharing your blessings with the world around you. And so when he gathers his 12 disciples, the same philosophy prevails as we find in Psalm 67. Jesus teaches his disciples that they need to be responsible with the blessings that God has blessed them with. They were told to use the blessings of God for the sake of the nations, the ethnos, the Gentiles, the others, the people that the Jews normally despised and hated were to be the ones who received the blessings of God in order to draw them to the goodness and love of God. Listen to Luke 12. From everyone who has been given much, he's talking to his disciples, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. This is not an optional extra for Christians. The problem with some Christianity, forms of Christianity, is that it's become so spiritual that it has no earthly connection. In other words, we think, oh, I'll just be a spiritual Christian, but I can keep all my money to myself. Or all my possessions are mine, because I worked hard for them. But I'm very spiritual. I'll pray for you. No, that's not what Jesus goes. He says your spirituality has to be reflected in the way you handle your money, in the way you handle your possessions. Are you generous with them? If you've got much, much will be demanded from you. The idea is that God holds us accountable. Jesus tells us that God's a God of equity. He blesses us that we might share what He has given us with others. He blesses us not only financially or with possessions, we all have that, but He also blesses us with talents and skills, with abilities, with knowledge. He blesses some of us with more time than others. He expects that we use these things well for the sake of the nations, the ethnos, the other. That's what glorifies Him. The context of these words on the screen are in the context of the parable of the faithful steward. And part of that parable was read. It's that steward who, according to Jesus, gives out the master's food and other allowances at the proper time. In other words, the steward doesn't see the blessings from the master as his or her own, but to be shared at the right time with others, outsiders. And so when the master returns and finds the faithful servant managing these resources well and being generous and handing out at the right time, at the proper time, this steward will be rewarded. In fact, Jesus says He will put him in charge of all his possessions. He can be trusted to do what is right. But of course, we have in that same parable the unfaithful steward or servant who mismanages. And what happens to that unfaithful servant? It says he will be cast out. Now, when I read those words, I wonder how many of us as Christians have read these words soberly? In other words, have we read these words thoughtfully? I see in the balance something so simple and yet so life-changing. Jesus is saying, the way you handle what you've been given, the blessings of your life are so important that the way you handle them in this life will determine, to some extent, how God will treat you in the afterlife. That's how I read it. Now, of course, you can't lose your salvation in one sense unless you think that God has blessed you with salvation to keep it to yourself. And if you think that, you're wrong. None of the things that God has given us are to be held. Open hands, open heart, open home, an open attitude to the people around you. That's what Jesus expects of us. And that's when He summarizes to His disciples these words on the screen: from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. This is not an isolated incident either. If you think, oh, Jesus just said it once and maybe we can ignore that. He said it repeatedly. Look at the parable of the talents. Now, you all know that one. One person's given 10 talents to use, to make more, to give back to the master. One is given 5 talents, another is given 2, and one is given 1. And they're all told to use what God has given them, the blessings of God, for the sake of others, to multiply. Now, it's very interesting. When I play guitar for you, I'm multiplying the blessing of God. God has blessed me with an ability to play guitar. If I held that to myself and only did it occasionally at home, guess what would happen? According to the stories of the scriptures, I would lose my talent. And I've seen that happen. People who have abilities, they've used their guitar playing sometime in the distant past, and all of a sudden they say, oh, I'm not going to do that anymore. What happens? Their talent dries. It evaporates. What talents have you been given that you haven't used in a long, long time, and you think back, oh, I couldn't do that ever again? I did it when I was a young person, and I can't do it now. I'll tell you why you can't do it now. Because you haven't used that talent for God. It's dried up. It's shriveled up. It's evaporated. It's gone. What will you say to God on the day when you stand before Him and He says, what did you do with that wonderful talent I gave you? And at one point you had such a zeal for it, and then, poof, what will you say? Oh, I didn't like to do it. I wasn't interested, or I gave it up. And Jesus will say, well, hold on. Didn't I give it to you to be shared? There's some serious words here, that's all. And I want us to take in the gravity of what Jesus is saying. Because I think, as I look out, that many of us have lots of talents. I could ask you all to stand one at a time, and I'd look you over and I'd say, I think you have these talents. I've seen you do this and I've seen you do that. But you haven't been using them in a long time. And Jesus will say, why? You see, if we look at our church, and I'm not just talking about using your talents and your gifts in this church, but this is a good starting place. Because if you're not comfortable using them amongst friends, how will you be comfortable taking your talents and your gifts and your skills out to be used in the wider world for God's glory? Jesus talked to his disciples in words that we sometimes don't like to hear. He used the word demanded. Much will be demanded of you. If you've been given much, it will be demanded. In a different context, Jesus said, do you know it's more blessed to give than it is to receive? Do you want the blessing of God? Then start giving. Give and give and give. Do you know who said this? Jesus. Do you know where it's recorded? Acts chapter 20. It's the Apostle Paul who quotes it. None of the gospel writers quote it, but Apostle Paul does. And he quotes it in the context of his own service. And as he's serving, he's trying to get churches, the churches he's planted, to start serving each other as well. And he says this, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, it is more blessed to give than to receive. He's trying to stimulate the churches that he himself has started that they too might join in the blessing of God. But you can't hold the blessing of God to yourself or it will shrivel and die. And the blessings we're talking about are much wider than money or possessions. Listen to the Apostle Peter. Each of you should use whatever gift you have. Use it, for you have received it as a gift to serve others, he says, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. None of us is the same. We all have different gifts. We all are expected to use them. And if we don't, they will shrivel and die. And if you think that you can just kind of hive off into a corner somewhere and remain ignorant of the gifts that God has given you and say, well, I don't know what gifts, therefore I don't have any responsibility, you're wrong. You have a responsibility to discover your gifts. That's why in so many different places in the New Testament, the gifts are listed. Not that we might say, oh, I've got this one and you don't, comparing each other, but rather encouraging each other to take up our place in this church. Paul says we have different gifts. And he lists a bunch of them in Romans 12. Prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, showing mercy. These are just a selection of so many gifts. Friends, we're at the beginning of a new year. And I find it incredibly timely that God put this psalm in our view. Because now's the time when you can say, before the real hubbub and activities of our church really get underway, today I'm deciding to use a gift in this church in a way I've never done before. I'm going to step into ministry. I'm going to step into the gifts that God has given me and use them for His glory, because I realize to whom much is given, much will be demanded. Demanded not in a nasty sense, but in a beautiful sense. Demanded so that you might see the blessings and utilize them by multiplying them in service of others. You see, God's in the business of not just blessing His people, but blessing the world through His people. At the beginning of this new year, look at the list on the right of all the different opportunities in this church that I could think of in the first 30 seconds when I was typing. And as I stand here, I can think of more. But just think how many opportunities there are in this church to be involved. And if you're not doing anything, then I would seriously ask you to consider, what has God given you? What is the blessing of God that you're holding on to? Because I warn you, it will shrivel up and die if you don't use it to bless others. Going back to the psalm, may you and I start off this new year knowing that the blessings that God has given us are for a purpose, so that His ways may be known on earth, His salvation amongst all nations. May that be the focus. And never hear yourself say, I can't. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, in Your strength and power, we can step forward and utilize what You've given us for wonderful things, even when we think we have very little to offer. As we begin to utilize the gifts You've given us, we see them begin to bloom, begin to bless and touch people's lives. Father, in these 20 years I've been here, I've watched people who didn't think they had much to offer begin to share what little they have. Like the boy with 2 loaves and 5 fish, it fed a multitude. Lord, teach us that the blessings that You have given to us are to be shared, that Your blessing might multiply and expand and ultimately bless the earth. In Jesus' name, amen.